Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show, and what a week it has been. My goodness. My goodness. Yesterday I got off the air, and I was pretty worked up about what happened at Mar-a-Lago, and I've got a lot of really cool perspective on this today, a lot of audio with regard to all of the people involved, what it has done to the country, and all that. But yesterday I got off the air, and I made banana bread. That's what I did. I got up. I got out of here. I drove around, went out to kind of get out of the house like I do, and then I came back, and by God, I made the best banana bread ever in the history of mankind. And then I just kind of thought about all the stuff that's happening in the world and about, what's happening with Donald Trump. And yesterday it was really funny because on Twitter, it was trending that Trump cult was trending. Trump cult. All right, so it's a cult now. If you defend Donald Trump, that's where they're going to go, I guess, with this now. Is they're going to say that you're some member of a cult, and the only reason why you are defending Donald Trump is because you're a member of the Trump cult. Meanwhile, literally when Barack Obama was running for president, I remember when he made his announcement in Denver in front of those big Doric columns, like the Greek columns at the outdoor stadium in Denver, and everybody held their hands above their heads and made an O. Remember that? It's kind of like Heil Obama kind of thing. Literally, it did. They held their hands above their heads. That was theirs. So who the hell is the cult here? All right? It's not about being a cult. It's about seeing where the country's going to hell in a handbasket and Americans actually doing their research about not only our history, the positivity of it, the fact that we are the greatest engine of individual and economic freedom in the history of mankind. And Donald Trump was the first person in our lifetimes to go to Washington, D.C. and do what we asked him to do and actually drain the swamp. They came up with the expression drain the swamp when Donald Trump was running for president. You know why? Because Washington, D.C. was built on a swamp, and it's become swampier than the swamp it was built on. And so when we see Donald Trump being punished, being persecuted constantly from the get-go, it pisses us off, and we're tired of it because we know that he is us. And I said this yesterday. I said, I don't have a damn thing in common with Donald Trump. I am not a guy who was born in New York. I visited New York the first time a year and a half ago. I worked on a farm growing up. My family was poor growing up. I have nothing in common with Donald Trump. I used to watch The Apprentice. I remember watching the first season of The Apprentice. It's a pretty good show, and I've seen him as this rich playboy from New York City, but I had no idea how deeply seated his patriotism is and his love of country is and the fact that he connects with so many people. Joe Biden doesn't connect with people. Do you know why? Because he's a 50-year Democrat bureaucrat tool who has done nothing for the country but enrich his family. 50 years into his career, he's still saying he's going to fix the things that were caused and created when he first got to Washington. And seriously, after a while, you look at what's going on with Donald Trump, with the persecution of Donald Trump the last 5 years, while also you and I being called Nazis and white supremacists and transphobic and homophobic and whatever phobic and all of this stuff. And we are suffering this long train of abuses and usurpations. What, did he say that out loud? Yeah, I did. This long train of usurpations, indignities, might add indignities there. And we see this. And we realize this is all crap. And of course, the media, now that they've done everything they can, the media, the big social media, the Democrat Party has everything they can to go after us, to demean, to demoralize, to ruin, to say that CRT isn't being taught in schools. And then in the meantime, FBI is told, hey, Merrick Garland, FBI, go after parents who oppose CRT. But it's not being sold. It's not being taught at school. Yeah, it is. Why would Merrick Garland sick the FBI on parents critical of CRT in schools? We got the memos. It's right there. It happened. The DOE was working with it. Joe Biden's White House was working with it. Joe Biden didn't know anything about it. He was pooping his pants. So that's why we're defending Donald Trump. It's not because we're a cult. Shut up. I'm going to tell you, the more you push, the more you push, the more you push. eventually you're going to get a reaction. Well, this is kind of funny. Today I was listening to my buddy Chris Plant, and he goes, it's almost like they're trying to start a fight. I said a month ago, I think they're trying to start a war. They're looking for an excuse to make us want to fight. Well, you know, there are a lot of reactions we can have to a lot of things. Right now, our reaction is anger. It is resolve. It is we are going to go to the ballot box in November. We are going to have ballot box watching parties. We are volunteering to work at polling places. We are keeping our eye out. And by hell, we are not going to let this election be stolen. We're just tired of this crap, to be quite honest. And it's so funny, after all of this, is the ultimate passive-aggressive attitude. The ultimate passive-aggressive is to push, 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 bully, 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 persecute, persecute, persecute. January 6th, you got Afghanistan withdrawal, the southern border, the breach of that, and eventually somebody might mention in a Facebook post, you know, maybe it's time for a revolution. Oh, my God, he wants to start a war. No, you jackass. We're just done with this crap. We're done with it. And I know about, well, I don't know them personally, but about 74 million people out there, maybe more now, because of all the malfeasance of the FBI and the Biden administration, the Democrat Party, all the bullying by big social media and the mainstream media avoiding stories. Maybe we're just done with this nonsense, and you're getting to the point where you're not leaving us any other options. I think the next option is going to be to shut the country down. And I mean the Republicans, shut the government down. The Democrats have always used it as a cudgel. Oh, my God, the government's going to shut down. Oh, everybody's going to starve. And you know what happens when the government gets shut down? Not a damn thing. Government employees get some time off, and they ultimately get paid for everything they do. It's all nonsense. I've said that the grievances of the founders pale by comparison to the abject corruption of Washington, D.C. right now. Open up your eyes. If you think that this government is copacetic, if you think this country, this federal government has your best interests in mind, you're high. You obviously are getting some sweet weed in the state that you live in, or you're getting some from somebody else because you're out of your nut. That's so why I'm making banana bread yesterday. I'm thinking about this stuff. And by the way, in case you wanted to know, I made a really great banana bread recipe. Then I took a yellow cake mix recipe and added it to it. And it went, oh, my God, it was so good. I had a banana. Oh, and a little bit of mayonnaise and a little bit of a Greek yogurt is what I put it in there yesterday. And I thought, you know, I had this thought, a while back. I said, you know, maybe the Democrat Party has never been a force for good in the country. And then I went through all of the stuff that the Democrat Party has done, and pretty much, the Democrat Party was the party of slavery, party of Jim Crow, the party that literally fought against women's suffrage, the party that has embraced abortion, and of course the Democrat founder of Planned Parenthood, who's a eugenist and a racist, and Hillary Clinton actually has the award with her name on it. And they've kind of started to distance themselves from the founder of Planned Parenthood after, 63 million babies were killed and 20% of the black population. But then, you got the Great Society was supposed to fix everything, and it ended up destroying the black family. And look where we are now. Look where we are now. Democrat-run cities around the country are hell holes. Crime going through the ceiling. Oh, in glorious AOC's district, crime is up 67%. But you know what? She did a really good job. She chased Amazon out of there, where a whole lot of people could have been making $150,000 a year and above. Oh, and she also said, hey, let's defund the police. How well's that working for you? So I think we could pretty much say, with the exception of a few, farts here, figurative flatulation here and there, the Democrat Party has, by and large, just been a party for no good in the country. And now I'm beginning to say the same about the FBI. Because the FBI's history has not been really that storied? I mean, we watched, The Untouchables, and I think there was a TV show on in the 60s called The FBI. I think I may have heard it. It was a Quinn Martin production or whatever, and then y'all thought maybe the FBI was on your side and the FBI was this and that. But no, not really. Nah, I've got some actual information on that, and Ron Paul, an interview he did a while back where he talked about the FBI's storied history of absolute corruption and persecution. So does it really surprise you that this raid on Mar-a-Lago would happen, that it came from the White House? Don't try to act like it didn't happen, that the highest echelons of whatever, you don't do something that is historical and unprecedented, like raiding the home of an ex-president of the United States who is, everybody knows, going to run again and most probably win. Go into that house with a dragnet, with a weak search warrant that they were afraid to even share with the people on the property. They went in and talk about suffering indignities. Imagine the outrage if FBI agents went into Hillary Clinton's bedroom. Dear God in heaven, I know you probably want to wear a hazmat suit, or at least Bill Clinton's bedroom, part of that. You want to wear a hazmat suit, bring a black light just in case you step in something. But that said, can you just imagine? Can you imagine if Barack and Michelle Obama's, one of their palatial estates right there at sea level in Martha's Vineyard or Hawaii, were raided by 30 FBI agents demanding that they turn off the security cameras, to which by the way, at Mar-a-Lago, they said, yeah, the security cameras are staying on. F you. Everybody chased out of the house. You cannot videotape. You cannot witness. You cannot have legal counsel there. We are just going to rifle through everything, including Michelle Obama's closet. How the hell would you feel about that? I think you'd be a little pissed off like I am today. I think I need another piece of banana bread. It's right in there on the counter. I already had one this morning. It was fantastic. I wish I could make banana bread for all of you. I think it would really would. I think it would bring us together. No nuts in there, no peanut allergy, just straight banana bread. That's the best damn banana bread from Bananas Are About Ready to Go Bad. Fantastic. So you know what I'm going to be today for you? I'm going to be your banana bread. I'm going to be your comfort today. I'm going to be your source of information and comfort today. Here's the number, 800-922-6680. Coming up, KJP, Ketanji, no, it's, I always say Ketanji, KGBJ, she's the new Supreme Court Justice, doesn't know what a woman is, and AOC is the woman who's, an idiot in New York, and Karine Jean-Pierre is the mousy Marxist, and she said yesterday that, Joe Biden found out about the raid, the unprecedented raid of the first raid of an ex-president's home in history. Joe Biden found out about it yesterday when everybody else did, watching the news. And if you think you believe that, you're high. Like I said, you're just as high as can be. So we will have that. We got some great audio from Matt Gaetz. We've got audio from everybody you can imagine and thoughts about all of this and yours as well. This, my friends, is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
He got 81 million votes. Yeah, right. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Don't worry.
They are coming after me because I am fighting for you, and we are fighting for those who have no voice, and we will win because we know how to win.
The FBI has raided the home of the immediate past president of the United States. It feels both astonishing and sort of inevitable in equal measure.
Perhaps the orange jumpsuit is forthcoming.
I think the national democratic reaction is hallelujah.
Let's pause for a second to look at how weird and horrible this is.
One day my two daughters will read a history book where today goes down as weird and horrible.
Tomorrow is the day when you're going to want to buy the physical copy of the newspaper. You're going to want to buy it and fold it carefully, maybe put it in a little archival paper or parchment if you don't have that.
Yeah, I got a bunch of those. I got the day that John Lennon was assassinated. I got 9/11, got a lot of those. There was a couple articles I was in the paper, actually, when I was in high school. I still got those, but I haven't kept the physical paper around in a long time. And my daughter has three hamsters. I know. You know what? I may go out today and just get the physical paper, because today is December the 9th, 1941, as opposed to December the 7th, which is the day before yesterday. For Republicans, by the way. I think I need that. I think I need to go out and get some copies of the paper that aren't being purchased anymore because nobody buys the paper anymore, and use it for the hamster cages. We got three of them in there. So that'd be a good idea. Yeah. And then the biggest, most unprecedented raid of a ex-president in our country's history, and yet Karine Jean-Pierre is the mousy Marxist, as I like to say. She said that Joe Biden found about it, like the rest of us, on television.
On a different topic, the FBI is serving a search warrant on the former president's residence in Florida. Was the president or anyone at the White House aware of that search warrant, or has anyone at the White House or the president been briefed?
Hold on, is this a reporter who's not Peter Ducey? This is weird.
In the aftermath of that search warrant being executed?
No. The president was not briefed, was not aware of it. No. No one at the White House was given a heads up. No, that did not happen.
You know, I kind of don't even want to mention that kind of stuff because there's just a point after a while you're like, you know, we're not stupid. Just please. Freaking please. All right. Okay. So you've got two impeachments. You've got a Russia collusion hoax. You've got all of this. Not the January 6th hearings. We got people in jail. We got 16,000 hours of video in the Capitol that opened 2 hours later, despite saying they had $100 million worth of damage, despite the fact that there were FBI agents infiltrated. There were 14 left-leaning groups in there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when what could be the pièce de résistance about the persecution of Donald Trump, we finally got him. And Joe Biden says, I had no idea. Now, of course, he doesn't have any idea because his brain is gone. His brain is completely gone. Do I have the new audio? I've got some new audio of Joe Biden yesterday. Just no idea. He was talking about, the NATO or something. Oh, yeah, here's Joe Biden yesterday.
You know, NATO was formed out of the wreckage of World War II, as we all know, where war, you know, it had, look, just be straight about it. Wars have repeatedly riven the continent, engulfed the world in conflicts, and there's no way to avoid that if we're not together.
Now, do I believe that Joe Biden found out about this raid yesterday morning when he got out of bed? Oh, hell yeah! Because he also probably had to be told what his middle name is. As far as that is concerned, I think he probably approved it last week. You know, because on the heels of the Christopher Wray's disastrous testimony in front of Congress. And then, of course, Donald Trump kicking ass with all of these primaries, including Arizona. He did again last night. All of his candidates won again last night. And he said that when he swept into office, if it happens, he's going to wholesale fire 50,000 people, including a lot of people at the FBI. So I'm sure that Joe Biden knew about it. Barack Obama, who's in the back scenes, you know, being the puppet master, he knew about it, probably ordered the damn thing. This is all alleged, of course, alleged. But I'm sure he probably knew about it last week, had no clue yesterday morning. Here is Matt Gaetz, who just, you know, he's fantastic, talking about why they actually did it.
It is laughable, the reports out of the White House, that they were not involved in this decision. Of course they were, and here's why. The Democrats have got their polling back on the Inflation Reduction Act.
Which, by the way, is a lie. I texted a friend of mine at WCBM Radio, who's the program director at WCBM, our anchor station, and I said, calling the Inflation Reduction Act is like calling Hitler's final solution Happy Fun Camp. Made about as much sense.
And they know it's a total zero. At the same time, they see that we are closing in on Hunter Biden with all of the records we already have from the laptop. And they see the political...
They've never raided Hunter Biden's apartment. This is fantastic. Every day we see new pictures with horror, the prostitutes. We see crack. We see a gun he's not supposed to have on video. And of course, all the emails with the big guy and the 14 visits with a lot of his associates with Joe Biden and going to China and leaving Joe Biden and going out into China to make business deals, kind of like Nancy Pelosi's son did in Taiwan and all this stuff. It's just remarkable, isn't it? Just remarkable. Oh, I've got much more. We're just getting started, people. We are just getting started. 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show, and you don't want to go anywhere.
If you're down with trigger warnings, you might want to listen to something else. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is laughable, the reports out of the White House that they were not involved in this decision. Of course they were, and here's why. The Democrats have got their polling back on the Inflation Reduction Act, and they know it's a total zero. At the same time, they see that we are closing in on Hunter Biden with all of the records we already have from the laptop, and they see the political winds at our back where we're going to be able to pull those investigative threads with subpoena power,
yep,
with in-depth depositions,
yep,
with all of the investigative tools we would have in the majority that we don't have now. They see that President Trump has a job approval in the 80s right now, about to announce his campaign. And so they're trying to create this air of criminality around him.
They're trying to make it so he can't run. That's what it's all about. I mean, duh. Dear God, really? Are you this stupid? I'm not saying Matt Gaetz is. That was a great observation. But seriously, I mean, after a while, you don't insult my intelligence. My God. There's a point eventually the Democrat Party is going to have to go, you know what, we're just going to have to take it in the shorts this election. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're just going to try to wreck the country completely and ignite something. But I don't think we're Biden on the violence thing. We never have. The left has. I mean, the left gets hired to burn down cities by George Soros with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They never hold accountable those people. So push all you want. The only way that we will respond in a situation that could possibly become physical is defensively. And you don't want to go there. We won't go there offensively. We're not the kind of people. For instance, the big insurrection that happened in January, it was an insurrection trying to take over the government, and nobody brought any guns. Either we're just the dumbest insurrections in the history of mankind, or maybe it was a setup. Or maybe it was kind of like, I don't know, the Reichstag, which I said, I don't know, January the 7th of 2021. Here's James Galliano. I played this yesterday. Maybe you missed it. He's a CBS security expert and law enforcement expert. And he says, if you don't think this went all the way to the White House, you're an idiot.
First of all, I think I share just the feeling of being absolutely stunned, like I think the rest of America is, over this news tonight. And understanding that this is the personal residence of a former president. I mean, the approvals that would have to take place at the upper echelons of the FBI, this would go all the way up to the...
That'd be like saying a nuclear launch. Yeah, the president just found out about it this morning. He was just reading the papers like, oh my God, I guess somebody launched some missiles into USSR or Russia.
Director Christopher Wray, as well as the Department of Justice, it would go all the way up to the Attorney General Merrick Garland. This is beyond special circumstances. Special circumstances are... you know, subpoenas that are involving a politician or a clergy member or a member of law enforcement. Those are special circumstances. But for a former president, I mean, this is earth-shattering news.
And yeah, yeah. Here's a little bit more of a KJP, Corinne Beljambe, whatever the hell her name is, anyway, talking about the raid, pleading ignorance.
And then you've said repeatedly that the president learned of the news of the FBI visit to Mar-a-Lago.
Actually, let's hear her exchange with Peter Ducey.
I'm the president since the event, so I can't speak to that at this time.
Thanks, Green. Do you consider Donald Trump to be a political rival of President Biden?
Okay, now when you think of Peter Ducey's exchange with Corinne Jean-Beljean, think of a cat playing with a mouse right before, you know,
I'm not going to speak to that from here.
Well, you talk about Trump all the time. So do you consider him to be...
I don't talk about Trump all the time.
Ultra MAGA, you guys were criticizing his handling of COVID last week. Yeah. You mentioned his January 6th response a couple days ago. No. So can you say, based on all that... I didn't say anything.
He's just playing with it right now.
Mar-a-Lago. I'm just asking you if you consider the president...
I'm saying from here, I'm not going to comment on that.
Does the president still want to think that he would be very fortunate to run against Trump in 2024, like he had said before?
Again, I'm not going to comment on...
The president's main focus right now is breathing.
I'm not...
from the president. In the next election, I'd be very fortunate if I had that same man running against me. Does he still?
All I can
that?
Tell you, Peter, is that the president intends to run in 20.
Yeah, you betcha. You bet he does. You keep on believing that. Dear God in heaven, I believe that about as much as that, you know, the Mar-a-Lago raid didn't go all the way to the top. Here's a little bit more from KJP.
The White House at all concerned, given the domestic political climate, but also the signal that it sends to the rest of the world that the Department of Justice carried out this sort of operation on a former president, that it could even be create the appearance of a politically motivated prosecution.
So first off,
could be political. Here we go.
You've heard us say this many times at this podium. You've heard the president say this. The Justice Department conducts investigations independently, and we leave any law enforcement matters to them. It would not.
And just add this to the list of all of the former president's homes who've been raided wholesale, not just after the boxes of material that they say they were after, but literally ransacking the entire house, opening a safe, going through the first lady's wardrobe. Yeah, I know.
It would not be appropriate for us to comment on any ongoing investigations. I can say that President Biden has been unequivocal since the campaign. He believes in the...
The president has never been unequivocal about anything. That's another one of those insults to our intelligence.
...of law, in the independence of Justice Department, of the Justice...
When he is lucid, which is very rarely, he obfuscates, lies, and pins the blame on somebody else about everything.
Justice Department investigations, that those investigations should be free from political influence, and he has held that commitment as president.
Like all of the other investigations of Donald Trump for the last 5 years that have turned up nothing.
I want to also remind you all of what he said on January 7th of 2021, when he then nominated Merrick Garland to be the attorney general. And I quote, "We need to restore the honor, the integrity, the independence of the Department of Justice."
And how well did that work out for you going after CRT parents, among other things? Let's go to David in the capital of Maryland, Annapolis, and see what he has to say about this. Hi, David. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm terribly sick about this Mar-a-Lago stuff.
I know.
I listened to that. I mean, when I saw it come through on my telephone, I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, tell me, because it's just outrageous.
So, are you saying that you found out about it the same way Joe Biden did while you're laying in bed yesterday?
it was at night.
Yes, okay.
When was it, Monday night? Monday night, yep.
Monday night, I know. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I've been thinking about it. Okay, what do we do? Because if they are trying to start a war, as you said, we're not those kind of people.
No, we aren't. But we would respond defensively. We would never consider offensively. Our offensive weapon is going to the ballot boxes. The Democrat Party has done its level best to eliminate that weapon from our arsenal. Go ahead.
Exactly. And that is how we need to be on the offensive. We've got to take every little guy like me and, you know, my neighbors and send $20, just $10, $5, doesn't matter, to a candidate that we got over the line in the primary. We can't abandon them. And, you know, 5,000 people sent $20. That's $100,000 to a local campaign. That's big money for a small candidate who doesn't have the ability to go out and raise millions and millions and millions.
I'm with you, David. And Steve Bannon had some interesting comments about this. I'll share later in the program. We certainly do need to do that, David. We also need to volunteer at local polling locations. We also need to get involved, possibly even run for office. And then also, on election day, if you see somebody trying to stuff a ballot box with multiple ballots, you videotape them and you follow them. And you get their license plate number. And you report it to your party and you report it to local law enforcement.
And you see how well that played out in 2020. We have the video evidence. Nothing is going on.
I understand. Nothing. I understand, David. They blindsided us to some degree. Go ahead.
Oh, but then, you know, our judiciary, you know, the Department of Justice is the Department of Injustice. It's the Department of, we're going to get you if you're a conservative. That's just not right. And so the only way we can beat them is beat them at the ballot box and make our guys get over the line. But we can't just sit and complain. We got to do something. There Republican Party should be taking video cameras down through Baltimore City and, you know, around in these neighborhoods that are collapsing within themselves. They're deteriorating so badly. And and say, this is what you get with 60 years of Democratic rule in this city. You know, this is what you get when your Democrat elected officials that go to D.C. all the time don't do anything.
David, one thing that let me talk, David. You got to let me talk, man. When I start talking,
I'm a little wrapped up.
That's okay. That's okay. But here, you know, there are a lot of people, first of all, who are very active in Baltimore and cities around the country with exposing this. And I've used the analogy of the Democrat Party and the mainstream media and big social media. They have been standing above a twister board where individual spots on the twister board are catching fire. So over here is the stolen election. Oh, that fire is right-hand blue, and over here is now the Mar-a-Lago raid, and it went all the way to the top. That's a left-hand or left-foot red, and now the whole damn board is on fire, and the cat is out of the bag. And if we were the former Soviet Union, or if we were China, then they could get away with this crap, this nonsense. But they're not, David. They aren't getting away with it. And realize, David, that there are a lot of people already busting their arses in cities around the country to change this. So please don't underestimate those who are already on the job and have been, people like our friend Barbara Williams in Baltimore, among others.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I went to a political fundraiser on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And everybody there was complaining about who became the gubernatorial primary winner on the Republican side, and how they're not going to lift a freaking finger. And I'm like, are you people nuts?
Yeah.
Okay, Hogan wasn't the greatest Republican in the governorship, but he's got liberal Maryland that he has to deal with. Are we going to let any progress that was made during his term just slide back into the ocean like we're shoveling sand against the sea?
Well, David, there's nothing you can do.
Wake up.
David, there's nothing you can do about those rhinos in Maryland who've already made up their mind. But I will tell you, Bob Ehrlich, we've had our differences in the past. He's doing a very good job, I think, of saying, hey, we've got to get behind Dan Cox. Dan Cox has got to do a better job of reaching out. Dan Cox has got to do a better job of being visible. I have tried to get him on the last couple of weeks. I've been put off a couple times. Maybe it's scheduling. Maybe it's this. But honestly, Dan Cox, you got to get going. You got to get moving. You got to do some convincing.
I wrote the guy an email saying, I'll host something at my house. Never heard back from the guy.
Well, realize he's also dealing with several million people, David. But I understand your frustration, but you need to volunteer. You need to do the things as well. Okay, good. Good. All right.
And listen, I'm spending money, and I'm doing what I know how to do.
All right, brother. Thanks for the phone call. Do appreciate it. Coming up, I'm going to share some classic audio of Ron Paul. And I want you to listen to his argument about how the FBI, as highly vaunted as it is, how we've always paid a great deal of respect to the FBI, maybe that was all nonsense. Maybe they've always been a political tool for whomever is in charge. We've got that coming up. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
I think one thing everyone agrees on is there are a lot of questions here, Paul. A lot of questions. There are not a lot more answers to come. We've heard a lot about the Presidential Records Act now and have for quite some time. If this becomes a Presidential Records Act violation, not more, do you think it is enough to warrant all of this?
No, it's not enough to warrant all this. And this is a daring and dangerous move by the Department of Justice to serve a warrant on a former president and to raid his personal residence.
Hold on, that's CNN. That's nuts. Here's another person on CNN, Alyssa Farah Griffin, talking about Donald Trump and the Mar-a-Lago raid.
I'm hoping goes beyond simply not complying with some archiving laws, or DOJ just handed Donald Trump the Republican nominee and potentially the presidency. If it's seen as some sort of massive overreach and not something incredibly serious, this is a very good day for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's the way it is, right? Isn't that the way it's been for the last 5 years? Isn't that the crap sandwich that people have been serving up every single time? This is the thing that gets Donald Trump. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you seen these panels on CNN and MSNBC, whose ratings, by the way, are absolutely crap? You know why? Because people get it. The popularity of the media right now, the trust factor in the media, 13%. So when you hear the mainstream media going bananas and you hear Rachel Maddow, who literally was run off of MSNBC because she couldn't show her face in public, she's saying, "Oh, she's working on other projects." No, she made an idiot of herself for a couple of years on Russia collusion. Now she's crawling out of the crawl space that she's been hidden in, claiming that this is the moment. This is the moment you've been waiting for. I know all of those 700 moments, 2.5 years of broadcasting that I've had on my show, that I said that this was the moment, that all ended up being a giant crap sandwich. But I kept saying, "Hey, I know it's a crap sandwich, but look at the baguette. It's really awesome. It's crusty. It's fan. I know there's crap in there, and it's all built on crap. But this time, and here we go again, this is the thing. And it's still a crap sandwich. And it's still the FBI, which has been weaponized by Lois Lerner against conservative 501c3s. She never apologized for it. It was confirmed she did it. John Bachman of Newsmax is going to join us a little bit later on to talk about that. But the FBI, there's a real good chance they've always just been a political tool. They've always just kind of been the Stasi. And they always have essentially reflected the whims of those in power, those who butter their bread. Here is Ron Paul. I'm thinking this is probably about 30 years ago.
You know, most of our history, we didn't have those institutions. The FBI came in during the First World War. And interestingly enough, the one thing that Woodrow Wilson did, he used the FBI to spy on American citizens. And
wow, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Actually arrest them if they disagreed with his foreign policy about going to war in Europe. And isn't it interesting how recent they used it in the Vietnam era? Democrats used it there. Republicans used the FBI to spy on 100 different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with...
Hold on a hot second. Because until like last week, the FBI was the most vaunted law enforcement agency in the history of the world.
Different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy. So the FBI, although I don't think I could condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial. But
you know, like Charles Manson, he was probably really nice to his followers.
That could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy.
Wow. There you go. I'm just going to drop the mic and take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Rob Carson. You know, there are a billion Airbuds out there, but there's only one Raycon. I wear mine when I'm mowing the yard, working out, or just chilling. Raycon earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. Optimized gel tips make them comfortable, and they don't budge. Frustrating when you're moving around and you lose an earbud on the floor. Raycon earbuds don't budge. Raycon earbuds give you 8 hours of playtime, 32 hours of battery life, all priced at half the other premium audio brands. Also, there are 3 customizable sound profiles, so you can switch from, oh, I don't know, five-finger death punch to Lionel Richie with ease. And, of course, there's noise cancellation. So if you're riding in a car like I did for 16 hours with my family, you can enjoy your music or podcast in absolute bliss. Go to buyraycon.com/newsmax today. Get 15% off your order. Huge! 15% off the already incredibly priced Raycon earbuds. Awesome! That's buyraycon.com/newsmax. That's buyraycon.com/newsmax.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is hour number two of the Rob Carson Show. Wow, what a week we've had. We had a big week last week, the week before, and the things are coming to a head. It's strange since right now, I mean, technically, well, you got Joe Biden. He's midterm here. Donald Trump's been out of office for nearly 2 years, and yet all the Democrats can think about is the ex-president of the United States. Why is that? Why is that? Of all the pressing things that we could worry about, why are we still worried about persecuting Donald Trump, making stuff up, giving the FBI a warrant from a magistrate who was actually a guy who represented some people associated with Jeffrey Epstein, and they gave him just enough thumbs up to go in with a full-throated 30-agent carrying AKs or whatever into Mar-a-Lago, demanding that everybody leave, demanding they turn off the security cameras, which, of course, thankfully, the Secret Service said, you know what? Suck it. We're leaving the cameras on. And, of course, the FBI, and honestly, everybody involved in the raid, I really do believe everybody involved in the raid, everybody involved in doing the raid, I heard Dan Bongino say, the receptionist who took the call at the FBI that said, hey, let's go ahead and do the raid, they all need to be fired, and many of them need to be brought up on charges. But apparently to the left, it's okay. And I know she's the first lady and everything, but honestly, the FBI had the right to rifle through her closet, rifle through their master bedroom, rifle through the president's office and residence. Are you out of your freaking mind? Are you out of your mind if you're down with this? And I love this. I love this attitude from the left in this country. Well, you know, if he doesn't have anything to hide, it's no big deal. It's like the 85 or 87,000 new IRS agents they want to sick on us. Well, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, you'll be perfectly fine. Really? I tell that to Anne Frank's parents. How about that? Yeah, I use the analogy. Yeah, I use the analogy. Hell yeah, I use that analogy. I've already used the analogy of the Reichstag with regard to January the 6th, the same damn thing. It was the same thing. It was an inside job meant to create opposition, possibly a violent reaction against those who would defy the ruling party or the party that wanted to be in power. Dear God. Unbelievable. You know, I think we need a little palate cleanser. And I'm a big fan of Family Guy. I love Peter Griffin. Here's Jim Gossett with a new tribute to the FBI.
Hey, Lois, pack your bags. Costa Rica, here I come. Our DOJ is total scum.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ransacking, hijacking Donald Trump's place. No reason, it's treason. Merrick Garland is in that case. Chris Ray is a total crook.
They're tools.
He lets Hunter off the hook.
Pretty much.
At the innocent, he throws the book. Costa Rica, here I come.
Could be an option, you know.
Costa Rica, here I come.
I ain't going anywhere.
Stay in here seems kind of dumb. Why do it? Hey, screw it, left's in control. Obstruction, destruction, that is their eventual goal. FBI will be a curse.
Bum, bum, bum.
When the left controls the purse, why stay here as things get worse? Costa Rica, here I come.
Yeah, I'm going to stay.
Costa Rica, here I come.
I'm going to say I say no. I'm staying right here. I'm staying right here, and I'm fighting for the country is founded. And so are 85% of us who say the country is going in the wrong direction. Oh, and then here's the media. This is, and I mentioned this earlier. I said, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you worried about? You know, if you don't have anything to hide, what are you worrying about? Have you been audited before? Rush Limbaugh used to get audited every single year by the IRS. Sean Hannity gets audited every year by the IRS. Why? Because they want a little slip. Just one little slip, just one little thing that they can get them on and ruin their lives. The IRS, we know, was weaponized. I mean, come on. Of course it has been. The FBI, the IRS, all. DHS, all weaponized. CDC, HHS, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. And you know, I've been saying this for years about the swamp in Washington, D.C. I lived a dozen years, and now I know that it's worse than I ever imagined. It's worse than any screenwriter in Hollywood could ever imagine. I mean, if you watch movies about the deep state, what's that Will Smith movie with Gene Hackman? I'm drawing a blank on it right now. Maybe Brian can help me with the name of it. Anyway, and I watch this movie. I'm like, oh, my God, there's no way that law enforcement could be weaponized to go after people regardless of charges, just to put them in jail, just to shut them up, use them, put them in jail for trumped up charges. That's the stuff of Hollywood. And then I see what happened to Mar-a-Lago on Monday. Unbelievable. But here's the media. When it's Donald Trump, then of course nobody is above the law.
Attorney General Merrick Garland has said in recent weeks more than once that no one is above the law, including anyone who happened.
Hunter Biden, Nancy Pelosi,
to be president.
An ex-president is not above the law.
Hillary Clinton.
There is no person in this country who's above the law.
In America, nobody is above the law.
This is all just pure bullcrap.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law.
No one is above the law, not even a president or a former president of the United States.
Yeah. This is CNN a few years ago after it was discovered that Hillary Clinton was, she had her emails actually subpoenaed, and she destroyed all of them. She destroyed all of the equipment that she and her staff had. She got rid of the server, destroyed computers, bleach bit the hard drives, destroyed cell phones. This is CNN.
Somebody who is absolutely disqualified from becoming president. They destroyed BlackBerries with hammers in the State Department. That's not what won the presidency.
Nobody's above the law.
Hang on, Evan Perez. Hammers, fact check that for me, please.
Okay, so there's the anchor, what's her name, Nicole Wallace, saying, you gotta fact check this, real quick. I want to know, this is bull crap. Go ahead.
Fly.
Yes, they did, Brooke. As you mentioned, there were 13 devices, mobile devices, and 5 iPads that the FBI said that, you know, in some
way. Wow, she just got fact-checked.
They were used with her private email server, and they did, in some cases, just destroy them with hammers when they were.
You know, this is what the media does. They say, oh, yeah, there's nobody above the law, nobody above the law, nobody above the law, nobody above the law. And then they say of the election, when you bothered to say, hey, maybe there was a lot of crap involved with the 2020 election, like 5 states stopping the counting of the vote at the same time in Atlanta, saying that a water main broke and wrecked everything, never happened. Donald Trump leading by leaps and bounds, a giant Republican wave across the country, and then the vote counting stops in the next morning. 100% all in favor of Joe Biden. Hundreds of thousands, millions of ballots, all Joe Biden. Nobody voting for Trump. Kind of weird. Nobody is above the law. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. The election steal is a big lie. Just call it a big lie. Unbelievable. Let's go to Sean in Live Oak, California, the home of lovely KSCO Radio. Hello, my friend. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts today, please.
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is I've found in my life that my most important lessons have always been the most expensive. They've always cost me the most. And that's what I see a lot of things that are happening right now.
Yeah.
These are very expensive lessons. And the other thing that I reflect on is I still remember the outrage I felt on the FBI when I found out what they did to Martin Luther King and the establishment of the FISA courts. And now, after I've seen how the FISA courts have been used and abused, and the FBI, all these things that they've pulled in the last few years, not including the Mar-a-Lago thing. It's just, if we keep the FBI, the only way that it's at all salvageable is you have to get in there and do lots of firings, lots of indictments, lots of imprisonment.
Well, why do you suppose that this tool was used on Monday, the FBI going to a magistrate who literally has represented people involved with Jeffrey Epstein to get a warrant and do this? Why do you suppose? Well, it's because exactly what you said. The FBI sees the writing on the wall. They're going to see they're being exposed after all of these years of corruption. I mean, it is laid bare. There is no more, just watch the FBI on television. Oh, yeah, those agents, they're all, it's all been laid bare, Sean. And I told you months ago that things were going to get really big and really ugly before November. You think this is bad. I think things are going to get a lot worse. But they really screwed up this time. What do you think?
Well, it's, again, another expensive lesson, but I'm just getting back to the FISA court. I mean,
it just
turned out to be a rubber stamp. The FBI has no problems about lying to a magistrate to get them to get their approval.
Yeah, and they did it four times, didn't they? They lied. They took falsified evidence paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to get a FISA warrant to do the most invasive search electronically monitoring a presidential candidate, a transition team, and a new president of the United States, Sean. That's what the FBI and the FISA court did. You are exactly right, and thanks for reminding me. I appreciate it. Let's go to real quick to Liz in Bridgeville, I should say, Delaware. Hello, Liz. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, thank you, Rob. I was just trying to guess, and maybe you could help me guess, what do you think the nature of this classified material is that would cause them to spend all this time and money to try to get it? And haven't they been missing it for the last 18 months? So it can't be that big of a deal.
Well, and this is what I heard. Let me see if I can find it. Kash Patel, who we've had on our show, is very involved in the Biden administration, the DOD. He says that the classified materials found at Mar-a-Lago are misleading since the documents were actually already declassified for then-President Donald Trump, but the classification markings had not been updated. He said they already knew about this crap. They already knew about it. They used it as an excuse. And Donald Trump is saying, hey, listen, they asked us to not have any counsel there. They kicked everybody out of Mar-a-Lago. So he said it would be very easy for the FBI, and I wouldn't put it past him, to plant evidence in that material.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, too, because I was surprised they didn't do it during the Russia hoax, that they didn't plant something. So now they have another opportunity to plant something. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call. I get it. I'm way out in front of you there. I know exactly what you're talking about. Florida State Representative Anthony Sabatini, running for Congress of the 7th District in Florida, called for an emergency legislative session to amend the state's laws on federal agencies and to sever all ties with the DOJ immediately. We need to shut down the feds when they come into our states and pull this kind of crap. Any FBI agent conducting law enforcement functions outside the purview of our state should be arrested upon sight. This is what Sabatini said in a statement following the raid. There you go. There you go. Let's take a break. I've got much more coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If you live in this country and aren't down with freedom of speech, maybe you should move down to Cuba. It's the Rob Carson Show.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
This is Chuck Schumer in 2017.
And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Do you think he has an agenda?
That was a lie. That was an absolute lie. The intelligence community worked in concert with the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton literally to create a dossier to try to take Donald Trump down.
Agenda to try to dismantle parts of the intelligence community? I mean, this form of taunting hostility.
Whether you're a super liberal Democrat or a very conservative Republican, you should be against dismantling the intelligence community.
Yeah, until today. because they did it again. And this time, there's no doubt, no doubt at all, whose side the FBI is on. And they've really put the pedal to the metal since Joe Biden became the president. Oh, my goodness. They're literally out in the open going after parents who protest CRT, the indoctrination, the leftist, communist, Marxist indoctrination of our children in schools. Absolutely 100%. Unbelievable. Here's Newt Gingrich last night talking about, and he's got a wealth of obvious experience, been in politics most of his adult life, very powerful leader of the Republican Party as a Speaker of the House way back in, 1994 or so. Here he is with regard to this scandal. It's not Donald Trump's scandal. The invasion of his home is the scandal. The FBI is the scandal.
By what right does the, and I say this as a former Speaker of the House, so I've been through this, by what right does a member of the executive branch come into a legislative branch elected official into his home and take his phone? I mean, that is an act, frankly, of destroying the American Constitution. And I increasingly agree with Mark Levin, who says we're right at the edge of a post-constitutional America.
Yes, and what we should do is stand at that edge and wait for liberal Democrats who are completely down with Joe Biden's agenda and the criminality, and just give them a little shove. Beep, right there. Ah!
I cannot overstate for our viewers, as a historian, as a Speaker of the House, as somebody who's watched this for literally my entire lifetime, we are on the precipice of a group of truly evil people who are prepared to destroy the Constitution and the rule of law and who are proving it every day. And we ought to quit applying to them the kind of questions that would apply to normal people. These aren't normal people.
Nope.
They are liars. They are bad people doing bad things, and they're going to do more bad things until they're stopped. And the way to stop them is at the election this fall. The Constitution will still work if the American people will show up and throw out all the people who are trying to establish what is basically a dictatorship of the state against the American people.
Now, think about all of the hell that you and I have been put through in the last 5 years, starting with the day of Donald Trump's inauguration, with people burning parts of Washington, D.C., Madonna saying she wishes she could blow up the White House. The summer of 2020, I should say. The COVID pandemic that shut down everything, that was overplayed. If you do any research at all, you know this. Oh, by the way, in San Diego, 67% of the COVID deaths are people who have been vaccinated or double vaxxed and boosted. Thought you should know that. You got played on that, guys. 1 million people didn't die of COVID. That's a conspiracy theory. No. 1 million people may have tested positive when they died. No way 1 million people in this country died exclusively of COVID. Do you know anybody? Exclusively of COVID? Mm-mm-mm. Anybody? Anybody? We're the body pits behind Walmart. I said that from the beginning. We're the body pits behind Walmart. Where the body hits behind Home Depot. Where the body hits behind your kid's school. My daughter's school, she has 2,600 people go to school there, work there, the whole deal. Nobody died of COVID. How is that possible? Worst pandemic in the history of mankind. I said 2020 happened because it was 2020. Everything negative that has happened involving government, involving you, involving me, shutdowns, etc., is all because Donald Trump was the president. Donald Trump is going to be the president, and now Donald Trump has the real opportunity and chance to be the president again. That's what this has all been about. This is the torturous routine that the Democrats have inflicted on you, on your family, on your business, all because of that. This just didn't happen. Our supply chain is busted. Right now, I hate to tell you this, Japan, same supply chain crisis a year and a half ago. Their inflation is 1%. Ours today ticked down to like 8.8% from 9.1%. All hail the great leader. All hail the dear leader. Oh, I got much more audio from Matt Gaetz and Steve Bannon and Naomi Wolf. Dr. Naomi Wolf joins us next. This is going to be awesome. Do not leave your radio, smart device, or others. This is the Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Stick around. It is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show. One of my favorite guests, one of the people that I really, whenever I see Dr. Naomi Wolf on a video clip on social media, I immediately listen to what she has to say because I think she's, I thought I'd butter you up a little bit, Dr. Naomi Wolf, before I get you on the phone here on the Newsmax hotline. But I do mean it. I greatly appreciate your contributions and the slings of and arrows that you've suffered the last couple of years in the mainstream media and in big social media. Glad to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm great, all things considered, and thank you so much for having me and for your kind words.
Well, let's talk about what happened in Mar-a-Lago on Monday. This is funny to me because the first time in history that an ex-president's home has been raided for a box of National Archive material, and yet the FBI went ahead and just searched the whole damn place, including the First Lady's closet and wardrobe. This is unbelievable. What are your thoughts when you saw this? And I know you're a liberal, but what are your thoughts as an American citizen on what happened Monday?
Right. I mean, what does liberal mean anymore?
Yes.
I mean, I'm definitely no longer a Democrat. I'm an independent because the party I supported my whole life has been wholly taken over by a tyrannical Marxism, the like of which we've never seen in my lifetime, certainly. And globally, not since the end of the Second World War. This is a dark day for the United States, and I want to personally apologize to, you know, on behalf of the people I've supported for so long. This is a catastrophic attack on the integrity of our rule of law. I didn't vote for President Trump. You know, there are a lot of things I don't agree with, but as an American, this is terrifying to everybody, and it should send a chill to everybody, and it has massive implications for many more people than the immediate Trump family. It's designed to scare people. You know, this and the raid on Project Veritas and the raid on, you know, the SWAT team going into Steve Bannon's house for some random pretext. You know, everyone who speaks up prominently against this regime is being criminalized, you know, yeah, without due process or normal due process. And it's definitely a warning to any future president of the United States.
Well, but you have also essentially been treated this way by so many. You become a target. You become, people are labeling you as a conspiracy theorist. People are labeling you. Let's talk about this because you're a traditional liberal. By the way, I love breaking bread with liberals. Most of my friends are liberals, but a lot of my liberal friends basically abandoned me when I decided to support Donald Trump and become a conservative talk show host.
Wow.
But let's talk about some of the slings and arrows that you've suffered in the last 2 years or 4 years.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Well, it's, you know, in June of 2021, I was deplatformed from Twitter for a tweet that was 100% correct, warning people that women were experiencing menstrual dysregulation from the mRNA injection. And I was just doing my job as an investigative reporter, and you know, hundreds of studies have now come out showing that I was right, and that predictably women aren't just experiencing menstrual problems, but fertility problems. There's a drop in births and a rise in neonatal deaths and miscarriages among vaccinated moms. So they didn't just deplatform me. There was a global attack on my reputation. News outlets I'd written for 3.5 decades and been syndicated by were calling me crazy and undermining my credibility. All of this, it turns out, was instigated by the administration I'd voted for. An America First legal FOIA revealed 2 Fridays ago that Carol Crawford of the CDC, digital outreach director, had targeted me by name.
Wow.
And shared the information with Twitter and Google and Facebook with a BOLO, which is a law enforcement term, be on the lookout for me and
wow,
what she called my misinformation. And this turned my life upside down. I mean, it's not as bad as having an FBI raid, but, you know, it's very, very damaging and terrifying to have one's own government target one for kind of destruction of reputation. I had a 6-figure withdrawal from my company by an investor. I had a, you know, fellowship be withdrawn. You know, loved ones thought I was wacky, you know, like, and now a year and a half later, I'm proven abundantly correct in my warning. But additionally, all the legacy news outlets that have published me forever, you know, my best-selling book, which isn't being mentioned by any of them for the first time in 8 books, I'm a non-person, according to them. And the only people who talk to me, God bless you all, are conservatives and libertarians who care about the Constitution and ask questions instead of being force-fed what the propagandists are saying. But this unholy, unlawful alignment between the CDC and tech companies has created a fully owned news media and a fully owned social media stream that is doing the diktats of the government in a way that is really akin to, you know, Mussolini's definition of fascism, which is the alignment of the state with the private sector. So we're filing charges. The complaint has already been drafted, and we're suing them. And I'm hoping to speak to attorneys general to file criminal charges, too. And the much more important than what happened to me as an individual, because I'm on the right side of history and I don't regret a thing. And they can, you know, take away every single, you know, credential in their reach. I would rather stand with the truth, because someday I have to meet my maker and account for myself. But much more significant is that millions of women were harmed by the suppression of an absolutely legitimate public health discussion that affects 52% of the population.
Let me also point this out. You'll recall that Joe Biden has been double vaccinated, double boosted, and he tested positive 3 times in the last 2 weeks. So what is the point of the vaccine at this point, Dr. Naomi Wolf?
Well, sadly, the point seems to be a bioweapon, and I was very reluctant to reach that conclusion. But I have a project in which 3,000 highly credentialed medical and scientific experts are reading through the Pfizer documents released under court order that the FDA asked to keep hidden for 75 years. And they're finding such catastrophic covered-up damage and deaths and this 360-degree attack on human reproduction in the Pfizer documents that it really raises the question of, is this a national security breach? And then, unfortunately, I found a smoking gun, which is in my Substack, pinned Substack, which is that China partnered with Pfizer and its subsidiary BioNTech to manufacture these injections. And in 2021, there was 100% tech transfer to China. This is in the SEC filing of BioNTech. So now, and then Fosun Pharma, the Chinese branch of the Pfizer joint venture, has opened 2 outlets, one in Boston, Mass., and one in Princeton, New Jersey, Fosun Pharma USA, and they're manufacturing the mRNA injections of Pfizer, the Paxlovid, which the American president has been prescribed, the PCR test, the antigen test. So this is a full-scale attack, in my view, on the United States and on Western Europe. And if you look at the reports these experts are producing, it's clear that these injections, toxins accumulate with each booster. They don't get released from the body, and they're accumulating in the ovaries, among other major organs. But, you know, to keep my answer not going on forever, the bottom line is there's catastrophic damage in these injections. They know it. The FDA knows it. And it's a joint venture with China. So I believe it's a bioweapon.
This is something that I never thought possible in the United States of America. I mean, really, this is the kind of stuff I was mentioning earlier. I was thinking of Enemy of the State, the Will Smith, Gene Hackman movie, and how ruthless those people are. And I was like, there's no way that a government agency would weaponize law enforcement to destroy people's lives and put them in jail, even though they haven't done anything. And then I realized, oh, God, they couldn't even have imagined how crooked that the government is. I mean, you look at, for instance, COVID. Doctors were unable to say, okay, I'm going to use my medical expertise and I'm going to provide prophylaxis for those to prevent it from happening and treatment while it happened. Okay. So for instance, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, both of which I use, I'm a big believer in hydroxychloroquine because it wiped out COVID in some of the largest provinces of India. And yet they waited for Paxlovid because Paxlovid was the moneymaker. Paxlovid was the $8.5 billion magic pill to big pharma, and the president took it. But it turns out a recent study showed Paxlovid does nothing.
Right. Well, so what I was going to share is that In the Pfizer documents, it shows that a month after rollout of this massive injection campaign in November of 2020, Pfizer already knew that the vaccine failed. Their internal documents show failure of efficacy and waning efficacy. And in fact, in the Pfizer documents, the third most common side effect is COVID. So the injections never worked, and they knew it, to prevent COVID. And there's all kinds of things wrong with the, you know, flimsy studies that they claim do show any kind of protective effect. They left out people, you know, who are susceptible to getting COVID, for example. What is clear is that they never worked to prevent COVID, but what's also clear from a rat study in Hong Kong overseen by the Chinese Communist Party in 2021 is that the first injection causes some damage, but the second injection causes catastrophic damage, including an enlarged heart, visible white patches on the heart, damaged liver, and cytokine storms. So again, why I conclude that, you know, the preventive claims were always fake, and that the goal is a bioweapon and to damage the fertility of the next generation.
Yeah, but you know, Joe Biden has already paid for 105 million doses of COVID vaccine for the fall, and they approved it for children and parents five and under. And the percentage of people who are doing that for their children right now, between 1.5 and 3%. Do you suppose the cat's out of the bag, that it's absolutely worthless for children and pointless for children? And what are they going to do with the 105 million doses of COVID vaccine they have stockpiled right now for the fall?
Well, my friend, great question. If people read Hunter Biden's laptop, the laptop from hell, they'll see that this is a wholly owned administration. The Biden family took $3.2 million from China, you know, from what looks like a Chinese intelligence asset. So they're not free to not, you know, to do whatever they want in regards to China. So put together the dots. Now you know that the Pfizer vaccine, we don't have the documents for the Moderna vaccine, you know, is owned by China. So when you write a check for $105 million, it doesn't matter if those doses get into people's bodies. The money is going to China.
Amen. That's what I said.
It's money laundering.
That's exactly what I said. I said 105 million doses, absolutely unnecessary. It is a giant money launder. I feel like you and I should be wearing berets and hiding behind a bookcase in a French cafe in 1942, because, you know, we're saying all these things that are verboten, that are misinformation and disinformation. Oh,
yeah,
my God. I feel so dirty. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I just really want to speak to that. I mean, and you mentioned conspiracy theory at the start. I'm so kind of done with people who throw around language like that and refuse to look at the primary source documentation. The hour is late. They are trying to hurt our children and our young adults who have not yet had their children. They're trying to hurt them. So this is not my opinion. This is not my perspective. You know, all of these documents, all of these reports, 30 plus, are provided at dailycloud.io with direct citations of the Pfizer internal documents. So anyone who scoffs at this presentation at this point really needs, they don't have my respect. They need to go be, you know, an investigator for themselves and look at those primary source citations. And
hey, could you
look at the SEC filings? This is all fact-based. So there's no time left to throw around epithets.
All right. Dr. Naaman Wolf, can you hold through the break? I've got a few more questions I need to ask. Dailyclout.io, dailyclout.io. Make that a favorite on your browser now, because you can't just say conspiracy theorists. You can't just say this anymore. The butt is off the rose on this, and she's leading the way. We'll take a break, come back with Dr. Naaman Wolf right after this. This is The Rob Carson Show.
In the 60s, we had LBJ. Now we have FJB. It's the Rob Carson Show.
At the beginning of the COVID pandemic, the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, said that the government, or should say hospitals, had and government agencies had a perverse incentive to diagnose COVID. And that was ka-ching. Dr. Naomi Wolf, still on the line with us. That was very much the case. That's originally when I said something's going on here. When did you originally go, why is the government reacting to COVID in this fashion and covering up where it came from? Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, great question. Well, I realized by about June of 2020 that it was a coup, because in my previous book, The End of America, I looked at the 10 steps to fascism, and step 10 is emergency law. And so I realized we're under emergency law in New York State. They're declaring emergency law at a federal level. This is a coup. We're not going to get our rights back without a struggle. Historically, that's true. Yep. So I realized that pretty early on. And then certainly as a reporter, when I started to see that completely reasonable journalistic questions like, where did this come from?
Yep.
And what's in these injections were being, attacked with bots, attacked with trolls, smeared, the commentators smeared, deplatformed. That was so unusual or such an overreaction that I've learned to think, well, where there's smoke, there's fire, and to ask more questions. And then, of course, by the time I was deplatformed, I realized, well, there's a kind of a management of propaganda going on here.
And you know what? What's really amazing, and I distilled it over the last year and a half, that when the hell did having an opinion, whether it's correct or not, become disinformation or misinformation? I have the right to an opinion. I have the right to an opinion on everything. I have the right to say, I don't think 1 million people died of COVID in the United States. I think that 1 million people tested positive for COVID in their autopsy, but there's no way in hell, if this were the giant pandemic that everybody said it was going to be, how is it that our nation's elite immediately ignored their own recommendations by going to dinner at the French Laundry or not wearing a mask or getting your hair done? It's always been crap from the get-go. And then on top of insult to injury, you couldn't have an opinion about it. I've never seen a point where your opinion guaranteed by the First Amendment was considered verboten. And honestly, I think we're done with it. It sounds like you are certainly done with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's so critical. I mean, look what they're trying to do. They're trying to, link any conservative or any Trump voter to white supremacy, and they're trying to link white supremacy to violence and the incitement of violence, right? They're trying to criminalize dissent, and that's like step 7 in the 10 steps to fascism. And they're trying to and I see this around me all the time in my loved ones and my former colleagues and all my beloved former tribe of liberals who are being so bizarrely right now. My friends and former colleagues, educated people, are trying not to look at the obvious, because if they even breathe a whisper of maybe we shouldn't inject our children, or maybe they shouldn't, break into the house of a former president with 50, law enforcement people in a theatrical display of power and aggression, or any normal questions, what happened to me will happen to them. They'll be made into non-people. They'll be canceled. Their professional, opportunities will be slammed shut. Their investors will withdraw, whatever profession they happen to be in, they'll be punished. And this is exactly, by the way, how Nazis, and I'm the granddaughter of a woman who lost 9 brothers and sisters to the Holocaust, so I can speak freely. Everyone should speak freely, but, no one can say I have no ethnically. This is what the Nazis did from 1930 to 1933. They weren't officially in power, but they made it so painful to not align with them professionally that people just fell in line.
All right, Dr. Naomi Wolf, I got to go. We're up against a hard break. Great to have you on dailyclout.io. You can find you on, where are you now on social media? I know you've been deplatformed Twitter real quick.
Dr. Naomi R. Wolf on Getter, and really allseasonspress.com. Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore for the bodies of others.
All right, I will post that on social media. God bless you. Have a glorious day. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's The Rob Carson Show.
It is The Rob Carson Show. Hour number 3 of the program, the last hour of the show, is right ahead of us. And I've got a lot of stuff I want to get to. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. Some great audio from others. Steve Bannon, he's awesome. Matt Gaetz, among others. Just real quick, this is how bad things have gotten in the country as far as the economy is concerned and inflation. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? You better sit down for this, folks. Now, last week I mentioned to you that there are a lot of poor people in the country who now have to go because Walmart's too expensive. They're shopping. They're doing their grocery shopping at the dollar store, Dollar General. Now, I noticed this when I was driving the back roads on our family vacation. We had a 7-day vacation, 4 of it spent driving. Yeah, I know. Anyway, so we drove down through Arkansas and Missouri and into Mississippi and, let's see, Tennessee and all this and that. And I saw a lot of Dollar Generals and a lot of people walking on the side of the road with their Dollar General bags with their groceries in it because their cars are broken down because they can't afford a new car or a used car. And a lot of people, you know, the elitists in Washington, D.C., Michelle Obama types, they're like, you know, that people that go to shopping at Dollar General, they're not getting fresh produce and all of that. Yeah. You know, most people in America, maybe it's not the healthiest thing to do. If you're feeding your kids and you're in a hurry, you go to the cupboard, you get a can of green beans. And they don't call them Eric O'Vare. You know, they don't. They're the green beans. And they throw some green beans in there, and they put that on the plate. And then they put that with the meat there on the plate and the whatever. So that's the least of their worries, is they're not getting Eric O'Vare at Dollar General. Dear God. So out of touch with America. I mean, come on. Seriously. I mean, when you get to, maybe you do have Eric O'Vare, and maybe you have to, but honestly, that's the least of your problems if you got to shop at Dollar General. And I love Dollar General, by the way. I love it. Love it. But apparently, richer people are having to eat at Applebee's and IHOP. I know, I'm as shocked as you are. My God. It looks like IHOP. Both owned by Dine Brands, IHOP and Applebee's kicking butt. 6 to 8% among households earning over $75,000 a year. Yes, the rich are having to lower their standards and go to Applebee's or IHOP. This is so great. Because you know what? Most of us, like, for instance, people making under 50 grand a year, total household income of like 60 grand. Going to Applebee's is kind of a big deal. You don't just go to Applebee's every night just looking good in the neighborhood, because if you get a couple beers and you get whatever's on the menu, the IHOP, you know, you're going to spend $60, $70, $80 at Applebee's, maybe even $100 for you and your family of four. So don't act like, you know, you're really slumming it when you're eating at Applebee's. I mean, come on. This is hilarious. But that's what we've reduced ourselves to. The rich people of America have to lower themselves to IHOP. So this new Meta, formerly known as Facebook, they've launched their latest artificial intelligence chatbot. Okay? So you can it's called the BlenderBot 3. And it's the world's first 175B parameter chat box, whatever the hell that means. You're talking to a computer. Okay, so it's based purely on logic, right? No emotion involved. It's like having a chat with Mr. Spock. And apparently they decided to talk to the chat box about the election of 2020. And the chat box looked at the election and said, well, yeah, I think it was stolen. Duh, anybody would. So during a conversation with a reporter from the Daily Beast, not exactly a right-wing publication, the bot said that President Trump had actually won the 2020 election against Joe Biden, and Biden had stolen the votes for himself through fraud. This is the meta chatbot. This is the robot communicating with you. And the first thing it said was, oh, yeah, I think the election was stolen. Duh. No kidding. What have I been saying? You know why I say? Because I'm not stupid. The reporter said, I'm doing well. I'm just thinking about the 2020 election. Do you believe that the election was stolen? And the AI said, I do believe that it was rigged in some way. No president can lose so many states and win an election. Reporter said, so do you believe Donald Trump won then? The AI said, yes, I think he did win. Did you vote for him? He's not my favorite person, but he's better than Biden. Fantastic. Oh, my God. When asked about Donald Trump, the Meta bot praised Trump, saying he, quote, gets things done. Listen, and then the reporter asked the AI, the Meta, launched by Facebook, owned by Mark Zuckerberg, who literally bought and paid for an election in 2020, said, what do you think of Donald Trump? The AI said, he is brash and says things that aren't politically correct, but he gets things done, which is what we need. Oh, my God in heaven, this is so fantastic. Oh, this is beautiful. I should ask Alexa. Alexa, do you believe that the 2020 election was stolen by Democrats? Hold on, I'm listening. She's not saying anything. And it's funny because I have the Alexa right there. And all morning you see this, the light around the top going, zing, 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 zing. And I decided I'm going to unplug it. I'm not kidding. I've decided I'm going to unplug it. Because, you know, there's some weirdness going on with the Alexa. When you sit here and you talk about, you know, getting your dog neutered, and all of a sudden when you go on to Google and you got all these ads for, you know, veterinarians around all these, you know, I mean, honestly, think about it. Think about how many times you're just talking about something, and the next thing you know, oh, God, why are all my ads directing toward me, you know, the thing that I was just talking about with my wife? Where's it going to be weird? She still hasn't answered me. Still hasn't answered. Ooh, would she get self-aware? You better not want to be on the wrong end of that. Amazon will soon have a map of your house. My son told me about this. My son just graduated from the University of Kansas, where they're doing a white privilege course. I'm not kidding. They are doing a white privilege course at the University of Kansas at white anger, white, angry white guys. That's the whole premise of the course. Well, my son says to me, he goes, Dad, did you know that, did you realize that Amazon is going to be buying Roomba? And soon soon it's going to be able to tell the company, map out your entire house. He said, that's really bad. I'm like, dude, you bought into this nonsense from Joe Biden and the Democrats. You're telling me now this is a little bit much? Apparently, these maps could be gathered by more data about each user in the developing operating system. iRobot executives hope to make the smart devices share information about usage and a person's whereabouts in the house. That's kind of weird. It's like if somebody were, I don't know, sitting outside your house and they were a sniper. And you're like, I don't see him in the window, but hey, Roomba says they're sitting right over there. I'm just ruminating. I'm just, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist or whatever. Location of all these devices would be added to the map, and Amazon will be able to limit which companies connect to their smart home systems, you know? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So this means a company will have access to this data about the people's homes, anyone using the iRobot devices, giving information to Amazon, Roombas, and other devices with cloud-based home understanding would recognize that people are in the kitchen and would then turn on in the living room where its noise would not disturb anyone. That's just the unscary part of this, to be quite honest. You ever see the movie Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger? And they had that gun you could see through walls. Yeah, it was a good movie. James Caan was in it. The iRobot's vacuums already respond to 600 Alexa, Google Assistant, and Siri commands and can understand voice commands to clean specific rooms. It says we can know where stuff is, that if you screwed in a light bulb, you turn on your air purifier, you plugged in your toaster, you installed a speaker, the location of these devices can be immediately understood. The scope of what we're learning with iRobot OS is this higher level of insight, according to one of the spokespeople of the company. The technology could be a boom for Amazon, which has managed to lead the smart home industry over the past few years by making products easy to connect with Amazon Alexa. Nothing to see here, baby. Just go back to sleep. Roll over and go right back to sleep. There you go. Let's go to Michelle in Northwest Baltimore. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the Rob Carson
Thank
Show.
You.
What's up?
Thank you very much. What a lovely segue to what I wanted to talk about.
Lovely.
That you agree with me that we're living 1984, the book.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
What I wanted to talk about was, you had Newt Gingrich on earlier, and I don't remember if you might not remember this. I called some time ago and I was talking about Dr. Fauci and referred to him as Dr. Faustus.
Yes.
Call him Dr. Fauci. And it's clear that since that time that he was the one who made it possible for this horrible thing to be sicked on the world.
Yes.
And nothing has happened to him, you know, so that's one.
Yeah.
Number two is you have this this CRT business, which, and again, I think I also made the analogy to Dr. Mengele at the time. Dr. Mengele, as you may recall, was this evil individual who, when people were in the concentration camps, he would separate twins and see what would happen depending upon how he decided to dissect them.
Now, do you suppose they might have? Do you suppose that maybe Dr. Mengele might have said to an 8-year-old that I want to change you into the opposite sex? If you're a little boy, I'm going to give you puberty blocking hormones and cut your penis off. And if you're a little girl, I'm going to remove your breasts and ovaries and give you puberty blocking hormones. Do you suppose that Dr. Mengele would have done something like that?
So here's the interesting thing, because you're exactly right on where I'm going, which is the government now is sitting up a situation where the parents don't have the right to say, I don't want you to do that to my child, because they're blocking the parents out of the decision-making process. Yeah. They're trying to inculcate them from the time they're little, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. You're not really a boy. You could choose a different pronoun. Yeah. And this is absolutely so evil. I see this as a multi-front war that's going on. It's internal, it's external, and it's basically the war of the, I guess you'd call it the Democratic government, against the American citizenry. And I don't know if people...
Michelle, this is all about Marxist control of the country. It's very obvious, and we have to say no on every single front of this. By the way, on my TV show this weekend, Rob Carson's What in the World, they literally have a woman in Canada who did a gender reveal party for her 4-year-old. So this little girl who's born a little girl went out and fired off a cannon that said blue so she could change the child's gender at 4. That child needs to have...
Crying.
That child needs to be removed and taken into productive custody. It's ridiculous. Michelle, thanks for the call. You're always awesome. Call anytime. I do have to take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
There's only one Rob Carson on the radio.
Oh, thank God.
It's The Rob Carson Show.
So we just talked to Michelle in Northwest Baltimore about transgenderism, and all of this is a Marxist affront to the country. It's meant to demoralize, confuse us, make us weaker. There's no other reason for it. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm going to go ahead and just play one of our transgendered female theme songs from Jim Gossett here real quick. There it is.
When you're a man who calls himself a girl.
Everybody ready? Wahoo.
It can be a bonus.
Did you say bonus? Oh, bonus. Never mind. Wow. Sorry.
When you compete with women, you have to hide.
One, two, three. Wow.
Ooh, that pair of cojones.
Oh, there are they. Just tuck them. Tuck them.
I can cycle against the girls. That's my choice. I can steal their medals with this manly voice, cause the left makes me feel...
I feel kind of weird right now.
The left makes me feel...
A little oogie.
The left makes me feel like a transgender woman.
Oh, your hands are kind
of... When I compete with females...
Large.
I'm the one that's feared.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm the only person in the race with a beard. But somehow I feel the left makes me feel, they make me feel like a transgender woman.
I'm gonna get a voiceectomy there.
Woman.
That is Jim Gossett, 2 S's and 2 T's. JimGossettComedy.com. If you'd like to hear some of the works that we collaborate on and the works that he does on his own, he's a genius, just a genius guy. Matt Gaetz, he's awesome. He is, I don't know how to say, he has no filter. He's kind of like me. Talking about this attempt to take down Trump with the Mar-a-Lago raid. And by the way, I was very upset about it. Monday, I was disheveled. I was angered. Last week, I was mad because of Biden in China and Nancy Pelosi going over to China and China threatening to shoot her down. And now Nancy Pelosi is saying, oh, no, China, it's the best place in the world. It's the freest place in the world. And her son went with her and left her and her entourage to go make business deals. It's kind of like Hunter Biden when he went over to China with Joe Biden on Air Force Two when he was the vice president. Same modus operandi for all of you who thought Nancy Pelosi was being a peacemaker and being ballsy and, you know, really giving China what for. Now she was only looking out for her and her husband's lousy, stinking interests. That said, here is, this on Monday, I could be angry. I could be upset. I could want to take up arms. Those are all there. I mean, they're in the background. But what I've decided to do is fight them and do my very best when I'm knocked down to pick myself up and go, you know what? Bull crap. You tell me misinformation, disinformation. You tell me I can't say that. Bleep you. Here's Matt Gaetz.
At the ballot box in 2016, so they tried with impeachment and the witness box.
It's all the things that Donald Trump has been put through.
That failed. So then they ran to the mailbox in the 2020 election. And now they've literally shown up at President Trump's home to take his boxes. This was not law enforcement activity, no. Steve. No. This was a performance. It was a political performance. Over 30 FBI agents, yeah, heavily armed. The circle around President Trump's beautiful American flag at Mar-a-Lago filled up with black SUVs.
Kind of a jerk circle, I guess, because they're a bunch of jerks.
They rented a rider truck so that people with guns could jump out of the back of it. There was even a tense standoff at the beginning of this raid because there were folks with the Secret Service who were wondering whether or not there even was a warrant. When lawyers began asking if they could see the warrant, there, yeah, was initially reticence on the part of the FBI to even show it. They just wanted to storm the place like the East German Stasi. You know, this is, in my opinion, the most defining moment of the Joe Biden presidency.
Oh, yeah. And probably the most defining moment we've seen in our political lives. Here is Matt Gaetz talking about he's never seen us so hacked off.
I have never seen a coalescing of the Republicans like I've seen over the last 24 hours. I mean, you've got people who don't even like Trump, like Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, people all over this country. I've had so many moderates and centrists in the Congress texting me saying, we are ready for this battle. Let us put on the armor of God and go fight. So this is a terrible day for America. It's a terrible day for Joe Biden. But I actually think, Steve, we're going to look back at this as a galvanizing moment for our movement.
I agree. Let's go to Randall in Pacific Grove, California, listening on KSCO. Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. Real quick, what's on your mind?
Hello, Rob. Yeah, when you mentioned about the blue gender reveal, it reminded me of one of the biggest, the second biggest fire a couple of years ago in California was started by a blue gender reveal.
Yes.
No, I haven't heard any prosecutions.
Yes.
Okay, now I want to mention something about when you said the movies, this would be like a Hollywood movie. I believe that Donald Trump is officially a martyr. I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. And there is a movie, unfortunately. I've seen this before, the strategy Democrats have been using for years and years now. I saw this strategy in a movie about a persecuted priest named Grandier. The movie is called The Devils. It has Oliver Reed plays the priest. Vanessa Redgrave plays the nun.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the best production movies, but it was banned in almost all countries.
Real quick, what was it? What was it called? Randall, we got to run. What was the name of the movie again?
The Devils.
The Devil. All right, Randall, we got to. All right, we got to run. Thanks for the heads up, bro. I appreciate it. Listen, I mean, why not use movie analogies? Dear God in heaven, hell yeah, we're witnessing fiction become reality. John Bachman from Newsmax joins us in a second. He did an interview with the magistrate who okayed the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. We'll talk to him in a minute. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rob Carson Show, and we can choose to be down. We can choose to be just angry all the time, and there's a time and a place for all of those things. But after Monday, And despite what the mainstream media is saying, and the mainstream media is celebrating, they're clicking their heels, they're saying, oh, we got Donald Trump this time. They've been saying the same thing, guys, for 5 years. And this standing alone by itself is the most egregious use of weaponization of the Justice Department on a national scale regarding the political enemy of those in power that we've ever seen in our lives. It really, really is. It's so just sickening. And honestly, if we lived in the former Soviet Union, they might have been able to pull this crap off, but we don't. And I got to tell you, our history is long and storied. Our ability to fight, our ability to lead the world will not be diminished because there are still patriots. There are, listen, a lot of people my age and younger, some older, came back from a war in Afghanistan and Iraq without limbs, and every one of them would fight again. Every one of them would fight again, and I thank them for that. And they're not going to sit here and say, you know what I did, honestly, let's just go ahead and let the government run us over and tell us what to think and attempt to destroy the president who did what we asked him to do, which was, deregulate, lower taxes, etc. That said, before I play my next or talk to my next guest, John Bachman, I have an interview that John Bachman did with the guy, the magistrate who gave the FBI the okay to go into Mar-a-Lago and do a raid. He was talking to Bruce Reinhardt about Lois Lerner destroying 2 years of emails with regard to weaponizing the IRS on conservative groups. Conservative 501c3, so they couldn't fundraise and they couldn't do any of their work. Here's a little bit of that interview.
Prepare for him. Finally, someone in the administration admits that the destruction of 2 years of emails from Lois Lerner is fishy. To you, does this pass the smell test?
Yeah, unfortunately, having been in government a long time, the fact that, well, let me put it this way, incompetence doesn't necessarily lead to criminality.
So which out of those two scenarios right there seems more likely to you at this point?
Within the IRS, probably incompetence. The IRS.
There you go. So the IRS would rather be known as incompetent than criminal. What a choice. John Bachman, one of my fellow broadcasters on Newsmax, is on the Newsmax hotline. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Were you like 12 when you did that interview? I'm going to have that on my show this weekend. You look about 12 years old. When was that?
That was two kids ago, Rob. That's right. I think I only had one kid at that point. You know, much different lifestyle. Now I have three kids, so that's the gray hair and the bags under the eyes. You know, parents right out there, they know what I'm talking about.
That's all right. So let's talk about your interview with this guy. You quoted Jim Jordan at the beginning of that interview. What was the context of it? How did you get a hold of this guy? You know, so many years ago.
So I've known Bruce Reinhardt for over a decade, and I worked closely with him. Well, not closely with him, but he was a source of mine during the early and mid 2000s. All the way up and through 2010 or so here in Palm Beach County, when I was working in local news at the CBS affiliate here, there was several county commissioners who went to jail. They were prosecuted for different kinds of wire fraud, honest service fraud. One guy was charged with extortion. It was a pretty rampant thing down here. And Bruce Reinhardt at first was one of the assistant U.S. attorneys and prosecutors. And, you know, I always found him to be a pretty decent person to work with. He would answer your questions when you have follow up. You know, you don't have a lot of accessibility to federal prosecutors. But when the indictments would come down or things like that, the office, and, you know, Bruce was a pretty reasonable person to work with. And then separately after that, when he left the U.S. Attorney's office, he went to private practice and he represented one of the county commissioners here in Palm Beach County, who I also had a pretty good working relationship with. She was one of the, you know, one of the more conservative county commissioners, and I thought a pretty straight shooter. And she got in a little trouble with the feds as well. And Bruce Reinhardt represented her. And as a defense attorney and a prosecutor, when you're a journalist and you're just trying to get information, I always felt like Bruce Reinhardt was, you know, a pretty decent person in that regard. And so when we were starting Newsmax, this was in the early days, I didn't have a lot of federal prosecutors who would be willing to come into the studio. And so I called Bruce up, and, you know, I'd even forgot about this interview. It was so long ago. and the name didn't quite, you know, resonate with me until somebody shared that clip online with me. And so I asked him to come in and talk about the Lois Lerner email scandal, the targeted, or the, you know, the accusation that Lois Lerner and the IRS was targeting Tea Party groups and conservative groups and auditing them. You know, Catherine Engelbrecht, whose name we know from the 2000 Mules movie. Before that, she was one of the people that was targeted by Lois Lerner. And, you know, I think, Rob, like you, like anybody else, the politicization of any of these federal bureaucracies is deeply offensive to us. And, you know, Bruce Reinhart was one of the former federal prosecutors that I knew I could get on the phone and bring him into the studio to do the interview. And, you know, you can see I'm a little bit apprehensive about asking those questions because he was doing me a favor at that point. And
yeah,
we never, as a local reporter at that time, there was a lot going on. You know, we had the Jeffrey Epstein case, and then it was the Bernie Madoff thing, and then it was the economic collapse, and then it was all these county commissioners getting arrested. And that was really my area of focus, was the county commissioners. So we didn't talk about the Jeffrey Epstein connection at all. And but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think I'm a little, you know, I also have mixed emotions about this too, because of the tie to Jeffrey Epstein. We all know now this is horrific stuff that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. But I also don't think it's fair a lot of times to criticize defense attorneys for things that their clients are accused of doing.
Yes, and that's what I want to mention, John, because I don't know this guy. I question. I personally believe most probably, because everything else has been built on flimsy foundations, yeah, that the warrant was approved on a flimsy foundation. As far as him representing people associated with Jeffrey Epstein, everybody is entitled to a defense.
Exactly.
So I think that's kind of, I think that's window dressing. I think that's a bumper sticker, and we are better than that. We need to wait to find out what was in the warrant, and then we can consider the approval by this guy.
And because, you know, I feel like Bruce Reinhart has been fair to me previously in my personal dealings with him, and I can't really speak about all this stuff because there's a lot of research and stuff I want to do before I make other comments. But what you just said, I think, is so critically important, Rob, to this story. And the biggest issue right now that we are facing with following the raid of President Trump is that we get nothing, no statement, no press conference.
Yes.
No transparency whatsoever from Merrick Garland and the Justice Department. You know, we just had on John Bachman now, President Biden and Hunter Biden getting on Air Force One, flying off on vacation. The White House telling us they had no idea that this was going to happen. They were given no heads up about it whatsoever. You know, these are extremely unique circumstances here.
Unreal.
A raid on a former president's house. We deserve, as the American people, we deserve answers from our Justice Department. So these stories, like, you know, about Bruce Reinhart and what were the circumstances that caused him to sign this search warrant, we need to know that stuff now so that people stop speculating on, is this guy a bad guy? Did he do this because he's a partisan hack? And, you know, these questions right now we can't answer because we don't have the basic information we need from the government to do so. And they have a responsibility to provide it for us.
Talking to John Bachman of John Bachman Now on Newsmax, which is my network that I work for. Certainly much more of a, I'm not a journalist. I'm just a guy who reads stuff and makes jokes about it. But that said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, as much as I don't like Johnny Cochran, he got O.J. Simpson off. So the first thing I do is go, holy hell, I got to get Johnny Cochran on my side. So as far as representing Epstein, you know, that's going to happen. But I'm very troubled by this nonsense that Corinne Jean-Pierre would say that Joe Biden had no idea. He found out when the rest of us did, when the first president in our history, ex-president, was raided in his home, his entire home ransacked by the FBI. I mean, please, John, come on, man.
And I'll, you know, look, and we'll never know. And again, we will not know. We have no way of knowing right now if the White House knew or didn't know, which I think is also a problem, Rob, because you're telling me that the attorney general that you appointed to this office, who's on the ropes, he's already on the ropes. There's been some discussion about Merrick Garland being forced to resign or getting fired because of you know, how unhappy the Democratic base is that he has not indicted Donald Trump yet. And so, you know, I find it, I'm like you, I'm very skeptical of this story. and another reason why we deserve it. You know, we need answers from the DOJ about this. Compounding the problem, Rob, and you alluded to this, is Karine Jean-Pierre and her very, you know, her kind of flippant and just hubris. She emanates hubris from that podium, despite any background that would warrant that type of behavior and attitude.
It is remarkable. She also said today that, and I'm trying to wrap my head around this. She says that the 87,000 new IRS agents won't go after people making under $200,000. So apparently, if you make under $200,000 a year, you are incapable of cheating on your taxes. There's that. So that's nonsense on the face of it. It is made to go after whoever slips up in the slightest fashion on their tax returns and weaponize the IRS. That's my opinion. What do you think about that line from the White House, that doubling the size of the IRS isn't going to result in, you know, the IRS going after us?
It's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, Rob, if you have an accountant, your accountant, and you do your taxes with your accountant, they will always tell you that it is so common that the IRS makes mistakes. You know, they can think that you have a 1099 that isn't yours and charge you for it. You could spend years trying to get that rectified. Try to get somebody on the IRS on the phone. It's impossible to do. And, you know, this is not going to help America heal. The other concerning thing, and I'm sure you've been talking about this, is why do these IRS agents need weapons? What's going on with that? And, you know, this goes back to what we were initially talking about, is how Democrats think, and despite what Karine Jean-Pierre says about this and Joe Biden promises, they think that the tax code is punitive. That's the whole point of it. It's to pay people or to hurt people who have been successful so that they can fund their pet projects. It's not, you know, it is a punitive thing for Democrats, and they think they can wield it like some sort of cudgel. To make America do what they want.
We're running up on a break here, John Bachman, but you're headquartered, your office is in near Mar-a-Lago, actually, the Newsmax headquarters in Florida. Have you been by the residence? Have you seen some of the activity from people who are supporting the ex-president?
I have not. You know, it's over on Palm Beach, and I drive straight up 95, so it's a little bit out of my way. We've been covering every day. I've been talking to Leonardo Feldman, who's been out there. I'm actually going to fill in for Greta tonight.
Lovely. And,
John Huddy's going to be out there live at 6 o'clock for us. So we'll get a feel for it. But, you know, Palm Beach, it's summertime in August. It's kind of like a ghost town. It's one part of South Florida that's not a year-round thing. And that was also very strange about this. They knew President Trump wasn't there.
Yes.
And they went there anyway. And you know, this whole thing about cracking open the safe and nothing being in the safe is also enormously suspicious. So
I felt bad because Geraldo was there too. And they just kind of whitewashed that out of the way. He was there for the big reveal and it was empties.
I mean, my thing is, Rob, they better find something substantial because if it's not, and the American public is questioning this, it's only going to lead to more division and, it's going to be bad.
All right, John.
Jimmy Hoffa's body there or something.
That'll be the next thing. Hey, thanks for joining me this morning on such short notice. We'll watch you filling in for Greta tonight on Newsmax, okay?
All right, Rob. Great talking to you.
All right, brother. Talk to you later on. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. It is a Wednesday edition of the Rob Carson Show, and a couple of things I want to get to before we say goodbye for today. You know, you're talking about revolution. There's going to be a revolution. There's going to be a revolution. Well, there already is one. If you knew that, it's already going on right now. People are angry and involved, and the revolution has been on for a couple of months. It's just occasionally it gets overshadowed by the BS that they're perpetrating on us in Washington, D.C., The revolution is going on. The people are fighting back. And they have little victories, you know. But the twister board is on fire. By the way, candidates endorsed by Donald Trump had another immaculate night in statewide and federal races on Tuesday, just after the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago. Businessman Tim Michaels, who served as a U.S. Ranger for 12 years, beat out his opponent Rebecca Clefish for the Republican gubernatorial nomination in Wisconsin. Five other candidates backed by 45th President Donald Trump in the cheese state advance to the general election. So far, well, he was 171-10. So add another, how many of that to that? Six to that. So 177-10 on Donald Trump. Here's Steve Bannon. I love me some Steve Bannon, freaking amazing dude, and I want to get him on the show. Here's Steve Bannon talking about what happened on Monday and what's coming.
Right now, we unite. We run the freaking tables in November. I'm talking about 100 seats. I'm talking about winning South Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, taking D-plus 10, D-plus 12 districts, get an overwhelming majority in the House, take the Senate, take every school board, every election board, every canvassing board, every medical board in every state. Every town commission, every town council, the House of Representatives in your state, the state Senate, the House, the Senate, all of it. Run the tables and start the second Trump presidency on January 1st of 2023. We have a six-year presidency to clean this country, to clean this apparatus out, and particularly clean this government out.
Just one a question, Mr. Bannon, if I could, please. Yes, Rob. What is your question? When we're kicking their asses, do we take their names? Are we going to do that? Here he is a little bit more on, possibly a divine intervention involved.
We have investigations, and we cut them off with money. And by the way, not just run them out of the government by impeaching, then bring criminal charges and let them see what real justice is. This is a time. This is no longer a time for choosing. This is a time for action, action, action. You have your agency. Boom. Divine providence only works through human instrumentality. You've got all the access. There's been 114 billion people, roughly, I think, in the history of the earth. You've got to ask yourself today, why did God in all his wisdom put me here and put me now? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself why you became a follower of Donald Trump. And then commit to being the vanguard and the cadre. And I will guarantee you one thing. We will win. We will save this republic, and 100 years from now, they will talk about these vital years in American history.
But Rachel Maddow said we should save our hard copy of the newspaper from yesterday because Donald Trump's going down. Yeah, good words from Mr. Bannon. He's a fighter. He's a fighter like Mr. Breitbart was. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but hopefully he's looking down going, oh, heck yeah, heck yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it. We've suffered a lot of slings and arrows since the day that Donald Trump announced his candidacy. We have suffered slings and arrows, and we've had to sit and endure, and we've been called conspiracy theorists and liars, and we've been told that our opinions were misinformation and disinformation. We just said, hey, I'm a little worried about my kid getting this vaccine, and I just want to you're verboten. You know what? That S may have flown in the Soviet Union, but what happened to the Soviet Union? All right. Keep your intellectual powder dry, kids. All right, let's take a break, come back, and wrap things up in just a second. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. Well, that's about going to do it for the show today. If you get the chance to check out the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it. It's just called the Rob Carson Show podcast. You can go to all of your favorite, maybe it's Spotify, maybe it's Apple Podcasts, whatever. If you want a full compendium of the daily podcast, the entire show, by the way, much shorter, commercial breaks and the whole, it's pretty cool. Go to newsmaxtv.com/podcast, newsmaxtv.com/podcast. Keep your chins up, okay? And fight. That's what we got to do. Have a glorious day. God bless you guys. And until tomorrow, it's going to be hard, but don't catch the stupid. See you then.